that God has decreed that his word will go forth to the four corners of the earth, and what God decrees will come to pass, even though the enemy tried to hinder for a season. Tonight I'm calling our teaching, disciples are also called to be lights. Disciples are also called to be lights. And I'm basing this from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, which says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." And this light that we are to be as disciples is, as we're shown, is set on a hill. And that is what God has decreed, and he's set his purpose, his plan. And of course, the powers of darkness, man tries to put this light out, but it never will be. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that Jesus calls himself the light of the world, and rightfully so. He came as a light in the world. And so many see him as only that light. But as I want to show tonight, disciples, the church, is also to be that light as well. The light that he left, that light is to continue. That light was never to go out. And so we too take on that light. And we are the light of the world, disciples set apart unto God. We're also shown this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, which says, "And you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So we're shown that our light is to shine amongst a perverse, crooked generation. And indeed, this last generation, why, surely it is. So again, God doesn't make a mistake in where his light is to shine. And he will get his light to shine where in the natural it is impossible for that light to shine, which then makes it all of God. And so we are the light of the world, or a light to the world. And that's what we're really meant to be. We're a light to the world, this world which otherwise is in darkness. And so much of Christendom today reflects the world and not this light that is set on a bushel. Why does it reflect more of the light, the carnal light of the world? Well, because it's worldly, it's shallow. And this is the great problem that is to be found amongst Christendom today, that there's very little light, light that challenges this false counterfeit light, because we're told that Satan is going to come as a false angel, an angel of light. So here's this false light as a counterfeit light. And sadly, so much of Christendom, in its shallowness, its shallow consecration, its worldliness, really does not reflect this light that it should. Now, tonight, I want to look at three characteristics in which this light is to manifest, in which I believe the Bible shows us. And firstly, we're going to look at the light that is set in position. So there's a positional light, in a sense. There is then, secondly, the nature of this light. And thirdly, the purpose of this light. And so tonight we're going to see, hopefully, Lord willing, how important we are to shine as lights in this world of darkness. Now remember, of course, that the enemy tries to put this light out, whether corporately or individually. He's probably trying to put your light out this week or last week. He tries to work it in oppressing us, keeping us down, keeping us in unbelief and sin and condemnation and all that bondage and garbage that he tries to work with. Well, tonight we trust that we will be set free in this area. And so, firstly, looking at this as from a position, this light, it is set upon a hill. As we are shown, as I showed you back in Matthew 5:14. So this light is set upon a hill. This light is a lampstand. Now, why is it set upon a hill? Why is it a lampstand? Well, in nature, it's to tell the world who we are. And so the church, the overcomers, those that are pressing on in the deeper life, are indeed set upon a hill. Now, you might not feel as though you're upon a hill. You might look or can see this hill, but indeed we are. And so, in nature, we're this lampstand. What we are and where we are today, it reflects the world, its goals, its ideas, political ideas, worries, anxieties, humanitarian interests, social interests, and so on. Wherever the church is, that's what it will reflect. So if the world is caught up, if the church is caught up in the world, in its worries, its anxieties, its political ideas, its humanitarian ideas and interests, social ideas, then that's what it will reflect. And sadly, so much of Christendom reflects that because it's caught up in it. It's caught up in politics. Is caught up in good ideas, in works, and so on, with very little anointing that's there. That is what it will reflect. Whatever you are interested in, that is what you reflect. If you are interested in self, in condemnation, depression, apathy, that is what you reflect. If you are living in unbelief, running always to the arm of the flesh, that is what you reflect. And yet God says that the church is to be a lampstand set upon a hill. And that is why God has given us the word. This is why he's given us the deeper life in the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, that we can now go all the way in faith for the purpose that we might be a light to this world. And so the world sees that there is something different about us. We are set apart. We walk a different plane, a different path. We are walking by faith. We are not running to the arm of the flesh so much as Christendom and the church does, but that we are running to God. We adhere and hold to his promises. Because as we stay with those promises and hold on to those promises, that is a light. It is a light set in this world of darkness. Little wonder how the enemy tries to keep us in the valley with the rest of the world. And that sadly is where most of the church is today. She's in the valley. And of course, we get no clearer analogy than that, than in Revelation 12, when the man-child, the overcomers are called away, and the woman that gives birth to this man-child, to the overcomers, then flees into the wilderness. She was in the valley. And yes, she's going to go through a deepest valley of trial, of purging. God will let her go into that valley, which she wanted to go into, because there's very little cost there. But that valley will be a means in which God will purge her of her unbelief, her apathy, her lack of light, so that again she shines as a light, even in the tribulation period. God will have his church as a light. The overcomers will be a light unto the world. He set that light, and that light will not be put out. Even if you don't agree with it, even if you've got problems with this teaching tonight, there will be those who will reflect that light and will not compromise because of that light. And they will not allow themselves to go into this dark valley of unbelief that the rest of the church is with the world. You see, she doesn't stand as a beacon today, warning that there are rocks, that there is peril ahead, that you come any closer and that you will be shipwrecked. She doesn't warn about that today. She compromises in her message. The prophets do not speak out as they should. And so there is this apathy, this lack of light. And so people become shipwrecked. They come in, they come into these churches, and because there's very little light there, their faith becomes shipwrecked. That's why the Word of God says, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. There is so much uncleanness in professing Christendom today. Yet God has got a church, the overcomers, the bride who is making herself ready. And she is a light, and she is warning, and she's speaking out, and she's causing those who are coming near to the rocks, giving out that warning by her light that she reflects. Because she holds on to holiness, to faith, to separation, sanctification. She's no longer, the unbelieving church no longer draws people into safe waters. But the overcomers will. And those safe waters are the pastures where the sheep can come in and where they will be fed and where they will be nurtured and where they will have the pastors who have the heart of God looking after them, serving them and being that example. Yet sadly, so many today churches no longer, they draw the people into those safe waters. Because they do not discern those safe waters. They can't see them. They can't even see the rocks and the perils that are ahead. Why don't they see it? Because there's very little light that shines. So that light is essential to shine in order as a beacon to warn that there is danger ahead. Which brings me secondly. We've looked at its position. Secondly, we're now going to look at the nature of this light. The nature of this light. And the nature of this light is to banish darkness. And of course we get the great idea of this right back in Genesis of chapter 1. Which I'll just read to you very briefly in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. Which says here, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So the first day in God's creation, there is light and darkness. The manifestation of God present in light. And so we see light in its nature will always penetrate the darkness and reveal what is to be seen. And that is the nature of it. The same as you have lights in your home at night. So those lights light up the pathway into your home so that you can see where to go, where to sit. The same as out in the roads and on the streets. So those lights go on at night. So it paves the way in which you can see. That is it in its nature. What does it say in the Gospel of John? Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And here it speaks of John the Baptist in John chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And so in that light that is spoken of here again, that light that God created, so God sent a man, a forerunner, to be a light, to light up the way for Messiah to come. And so we're seeing again in the last days, God is preparing to light up the world up again with forerunners, the overcomers, the sons of God, who are now making themselves ready, they again are going to be that light, forerunners, just as a type like the John the Baptist, to prepare the coming of Messiah Jesus to rule and reign on earth. And before Jesus comes, the overcomers will be manifested to the earth. Romans 8, in releasing groaning creation, there they will be the forerunners, the light again being established, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. Those wise virgins who go forth with that oil and their vessel in their oil, going forth prepared, ready to meet the bridegroom that comes. Here again it speaks of this light, this preparing the way, the forerunners. Why is this? Because the church is lost. She's lost her way. And so God is preparing now an army of people, overcomers, who are preparing in the school of trial, in faith, waiting on God to be those forerunners again, to prepare the way for the church to come back into that light, that beacon that she should be. Look at God's mighty plan, how he's working with this. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord. So light in its nature will always penetrate the darkness and reveal what is to be seen. And the next great event that is to be seen through the baptism of the Holy Spirit will be the manifestation of the sons of God to groaning creation. You see, the disciple as a light helps to dispel this spiritual darkness that is in the world. And that is the nature of your discipleship. You've been called not only as just church members, but to walk as disciples, to emulate Christ, to be those lights to dispel that darkness that's in the world. You see, that is what God is ultimately putting within us. And we're to be those lights in our home, at work, to our neighbor, wherever we are. We're to be those lights. And indeed, we are those lights. You may not feel much like a light, but if you're going on with the Lord and walking as a disciple, I can assure you he's put light in you. Let's just encourage ourselves in some of the scriptures here that speak of this light. For example, in Matthew 5 and verse 16, which says here, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So your good works, your works that come by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are a light in which to glorify your Father in heaven. So look at the nature of that light. It's to go back and glorify the Father. We also again see more of this light in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, it says, for we were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so he calls us to walk in this light. You were in darkness, you're now in light. Hallelujah. Then we see another illustration of this in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which they observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation. So here again, he's really speaking about this light that is within us, that how we're to walk, that we're to be...
A vast virus database has been updated.
...in our good works to glorify God. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5? About that. whatever you're going through, whatever your trial, whatever I feel like, the enemy's trying to bring me down into darkness, but I am of the light, Satan. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is a promise. Because Satan is trying to put that light out within you. But there we are. We are the children of light. And finally, in John 15 and verse 8. In John 15 and verse 8, he says there, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So this light, or the nature of this light, which Satan tries to banish and put out in us, is based on our works, our love, our compassion, our mercy, our love for each other, our helping our brother, our sister, our neighbor, yes, even our enemy, the fruit that we bear, that reveals the light that is within us. And little wonder again why the enemy tries to put this out, why he tries to hinder this light. You see, many fail to mature in this area. Many fail to mature because they don't really want to believe in the promises of God. They don't really want to trust God for his provisions. They don't really want to trust God for healings, deliverances, to go deeper with the Lord. They have very little testimonies of what God has done and is doing in their lives. Again, it reveals how much light is there. And so, embracing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God is dependent on that light that we reveal. What our attitude towards our neighbor, our enemy, our husband, our wife, whoever it would be, our whole attitude is absolutely essential in the house of God. And thirdly, we look at the purpose of this light. The purpose of this light. And as I have read already, and just will read it again, back in Matthew 5 and verse 16, he says, for assuredly I say to you, in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Thirdly, the purpose of this is that Jesus tells us the world doesn't read their Bibles, but reads us. Because it tells us, let your light so shine before men. So we in many ways are a reflection of the Word of God to the world in which they don't read their Bibles. But they are certainly reading us. And this is why, sadly today, you see so many Christians' lives, they're the same lives as their next door neighbor. Or the people that they work with. Or the boss. Or unregenerate husband. Or wife. Or family that don't know the Lord. So often you find the lives of a Christian or professing Christian really just live the same. It's on the same level. And so, again, what is its purpose? Its purpose is lost. Because the purpose is, as I've read to you in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Now we have to, all of us, come clean before God. We have to really ask ourselves before the Lord, Lord, show me, is your light that is in me, is it shining before men? Is it an example? Is it seen? Because, Father, if it's not, then please do something about it. Because I desire... to glorify you, and you're supposed to have to come clean. And we have to ask the Lord. And God, in his mercy, love, and grace, will show us. And the very fact that God is challenging us tonight, speaking to us tonight, about this light that's set on a lampstand. God is getting some of our attention. Maybe the light in us isn't like it used to be. Maybe I'm not showing that light as I should be, you see. You see? And how true that is. You see, the nature of a pig is what it is. It wallows in the mire. That is its nature. It's not your nature. And so you have on the garments of praise. They are pure white garments. And you know, sometimes there can be just a little spot. And that's all it takes. And yet, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It was interesting. I got to hear in the marriage recently of Kate and William that when the wedding dress was made, they didn't actually make one, but they made two. And the second one is a reserve, just in case something happens. So that they got a reserve. Well, if man can do that, and it took months to make that dress or those two dresses, well, then how much more with our spiritual garments? Now, only God can sustain and keep this light. And that is why we have to walk close with him. We have to keep in fellowship, in prayer, fellowship with each other, coming regularly under the word of God. And all of this that God has purposed so that our garments can be kept clean, in order that we can be that light that is set on a hill. Now, sometimes we don't see that light. Sometimes we're not always aware of that light because God doesn't always show us. But I believe tonight, the very fact that we're having a meeting tonight, the very fact that we're talking about this, the very fact that this word is going out to the four corners of the earth, this is light that is going forth. Hallelujah. Because God sets it on a hill, does he not? You know, the sad dichotomy of all of this is that people out there, most will tell you that they aren't interested in church because it's filled with hypocrites. It's filled with people who live just like the world, or in fact are worse than the world. And sadly, I have seen amongst Christendom things that have gone on that you wouldn't even see in the world. And yet there's to be a light unto the world. The church is to be a light unto the world. There are times that we all of us just have to bow our head in advance and just have to confess, Father, Lord, have mercy on us. This isn't light that's shining, anything but. It's inconsistent. And so God is working within us this consistency that comes by staying with him, that comes by enduring to the end. As I said before and continue to say, there are so many of God's people that are running around from this ministry to that ministry to this minister to that church, and you name it, getting nothing but more and more confused. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And they will stay with it. They will stay with that which they witness to. And they will pay the price. If you're not able to come to the meetings and share physically in the flesh, then you're able to come online and come into the room where you know that the word of God is going to feed you and teach you. So that it's going to put that light within you to be able to shine as that light. And this is why we call on God's mercy in this hour. And I think the church has just got to own up and bow that knee, that that light is not as it should be. And once we start to confess this and see that there is a problem with this, then we're going to start to see God putting forth that light, his light, shining forth. Because the powers of darkness in this last day are trying to put it out. And the enemy knows, and he is very subtle, and he's trying to put it out because he knows that that light is going to save God's remnant that are going to be called in the last day. He is not stupid. So many of God's people are asleep to this. Unless God opens our eyes, we honestly think that we have that light, that that light shines in God's church. But it cannot shine in a church that is divided. It cannot shine where there is denominationalism, where some are calling themselves Baptist, some Anglican, some Lutheran, you name it. That is nothing but spiritual tribalism. Denominationalism will always bring you under the bondage of man, under the leadership of man, and never under the leadership of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it can never be a light. Denominationalism is not a light. The harlot that is spoken of in Revelation 17, 18 is a defiled light. A light that will finally be judged in the last days. God hates denominationalism because it has divided God's church over the centuries. And it honestly thinks it is a light in its good works. But that is not how God has purposed it. God has purposed that this church should have good works. But the good works come as a result of that light. The saints who are redeemed, justified by faith. And that is why we come away from all that bondage. We come away from all that bickering and arguing, that divisiveness, where some believe Apollos and some Cephas and some Paul, full of idolatry. No, let the Holy Spirit release you and bring you under the full light, the light of the Holy Spirit, under the headship of God, that you're no longer under man, but under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your covering is not an elder, but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. For whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. And you have been set free to be a light, the church, set upon a hill, a beacon, a warning to the world, that come any closer and you will be shipwrecked. Speaking out against that which is not of God, so that that light fully shines. No wonder the enemy tries to put it out. He tried to put the light of Jesus out. He thought he got him at the cross at Calvary, little realizing that God's divine plan was to raise him up, that that light might now be seen throughout the whole world. The gospel that is going forth finally to the four corners of the earth is a gospel of light. Shine in darkness. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight. We are so grateful that you have given us ears to hear your word. We're so grateful, Father, that there's nothing we can do about this light, but that it is by your mercy and grace. And it is a light that comes through redemption, salvation, a renewed life, a life made new in Christ. And Lord, we thank you that nothing will put that light out. Whatever we go through, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever we're battling sin-wise, it will never be put out. And that is our confession. and our belief. And Lord, we thank you that we are your disciples, disciples also now taking that light to the world. And Lord, we are seeing now prophetically in these last days, the wise virgins are ready to go forth. They have that extra vessel of oil, that oil of anointing, that light, Father, that will light up and pave the way for the coming of the bridegroom. Lord, we praise you for this. We thank you, Father. Thank you tonight for this meeting. Thank you that the enemy tried to stop it, but you've had the final say. And we praise and thank you, Lord. Thank you for all our brothers and sisters who come in the room tonight. Bless them, be with them, preserve them, keep them from the evil one, from temptations. Let their faith fail not, but they will ever wax stronger and bolder in the faith, Lord. Father, we praise you, Lord, tonight for this. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.